Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For I have received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, did this. It is the Lord's Supper, St. Paul reminds us. Earlier in this chapter, the Corinthians had begun to make it their own. They began to celebrate the Lord's Supper, doing their own thing, considering not the Lord's command and institution, but rather separating one another out, the poor from the rich, the old from the young. They were no longer celebrating the Lord's Supper, he says. They were celebrating their own. Do you not, he says, do you not have houses in which you can eat at home? The answer he expected, of course, was yes. They had not come together to do what the Lord had said. They had come together to do what they wanted to do. The Lord's Supper is for us. It is not about us. It is not ours to make up what we want. We follow his word and institution. For what I received from the Lord, St. Paul says, I delivered to you. There is nothing further for us to discuss then, he says. You do what Jesus said. The Lord's Supper is for us Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. It is the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he instituted on this night, given under bread and wine. As you know from our catechism, it is his supper. And it is his supper to deliver the forgiveness of sins. In other words, what our Lord accomplished 2,000 years ago by his death and resurrection, by his all-availing sacrifice for our sins, he gives to us here in time. He delivers it to us through his word attached to these elements. He gives us the body that was pierced, the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. It was not won for us here on this altar. It was won for us by his cross. But here it is given to us. This is where Christians run to when they desire the forgiveness of sins. To ask you to come to the Lord's Supper is simply to ask you to be a Christian. What we receive here is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We participate in his body and blood. That is the word that St. Paul uses earlier in the chapter. Sometimes it is translated as communion. That we have a communion with whom? With the body and blood of Jesus. Thus, with Jesus himself, and thus, with everyone who is receiving this body and blood. It is a making one of us. For we are one bread, one loaf, St. Paul says. And so we are to act as one united people. We might say the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion, makes a holy community. And that we are to see one another as holy saints. Saints for whom Christ has died. Saints for whom Christ has forgiven. And then St. Paul makes this turn. It is, of course, because of what happened earlier in the chapter that we did not read this evening. But I commend it to you, beginning with verse 17 and chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. He makes this turn about worthy eating and drinking. For remember, the Corinthians had made the Lord's Supper their own supper. He was calling them to repentance. He was calling them to repentance because they were eating the Lord's Supper unworthily. That is to say, they were eating and drinking judgment upon themselves. And so he says, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. To eat and to drink unworthily is to eat and to drink without faith. Without faith in these words, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Without faith in those words, one ends up making the Lord's Supper into his individual happy meal with Jesus. What goes along with that faith is repentance, a sorrow over their sins, a desire for reconciliation with those whom you have wronged and who have wronged you. For remember, the participation, the communion, is not between you and Jesus and the body and blood. The participation is you and Jesus and everyone who receives the body and blood. That he is knitting us into one holy communion, community, a union together. Without faith, then, in his words, without repentance, understanding that we are in need of forgiveness, we ourselves, and yes, everyone around us, without that faith, we are receiving the Lord's body and blood to our judgment, to our detriment. And to have then repentance, along with that faith and a plan with the help of the Holy Spirit to change and remedy your sinful lives. That is to say that if you have wronged someone, you don't simply hear the words of forgiveness and go home and say, Jesus forgave it anyway. We are a holy communion, a community. Or do we not listen to what St. Paul has said just in our ears this evening? That we will eat the body and blood to our judgment. And if he judges us, he does it for our discipline. That is why St. Paul says, some of you have become sick, and some of you have died. Faith in these words for we are one body, a communion. And so we confess together when we receive the Lord's Supper, we proclaim his death until he comes. That death is not an abstract thing. That death happened in time and has an effect for all eternity. That effect is the forgiveness of our sins. And if we believe that our sins are forgiven, we better believe that our neighbor's is as well. And that we would go forth among one another with those words of forgiveness on our lips, proclaiming the death until he comes again. Whether that coming is at the end of time, or the next time we are in his presence, in his body and blood, at his service. For he comes to us in more than one way. Our life together is based on one thing: the proclamation of Christ's death until he comes again. That he has died for our transgressions, that he has been raised for our justification. And if we believe that, if we take that to heart, that changes our life. Period. This is not to say that it will be perfect, that there will be no struggle. But it does change. He gives us the strength to, through his word, to do this with one another. The first thing that God says to humanity is that it is not good for him to be alone. Take this to heart. Jesus says, "Greater love has no man than this, than that one would die for his friends." These are our friends. Let us die for one another. Die to ourselves in confession of our sin. Die to ourselves in helping and serving our neighbor. Die to ourselves so that we may protect those for whom Christ has died. We are a holy communion, God's blessed community here on earth, knitted together by his word, with his body and blood to be his body, to be his mouth and voice in all that we do. What he has commanded us to do is not burdensome. It is a joy for all of us to speak of the excellencies of him who have called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We can convert the pagans by our laughter, by our joy in the Lord, by our joy with one another, by showing them that we are unafraid of what the world can throw at us, because we believe in a God who raises the dead, a God who gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, a God who gives us his spirit so that we may go forth with his peace. Let us be that holy communion. Let us be that holy, blessed community here for the people of this world, town, county, whatever. Let us be that to them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting.